With God's help, I'd like to speak to you on this theme, a model of spiritual service. A model of spiritual service. F.B. Meyer was a contemporary and friend of D.L. Moody. Many of you would know the name D.L. Moody, maybe not know the name F.B. Meyer, however many of you probably would. But he was a contemporary and friend of D.L. Moody and A.C. Dixon. F.B. Meyer was a Baptist pastor and evangelist in England, involved in ministry and inner-city mission work on both sides of the Atlantic. He was a writer of commentaries, devotional books. He went to be with the Lord in 1929, so 91 years ago, coming up on 91 years. At the age of 82, Brother Meyer was quoted as saying this, "I have only one ambition, to be God's errand boy." To be God's errand boy. One ambition, one goal, if you will, one objective. To me, when I read this quote, I think of someone with a humble heart. I think of someone who is a servant, someone who is selfless, someone who is willing to give his life to the simplest of tasks, not for his own gain or for his own fulfillment, but for the sake of the Lord whom he loved. I have one ambition, to be God's errand boy. As we consider that quote, as we begin the message, we have discovered in Philippians chapter 2 that the Apostle Paul has emphasized humility. You can look back for just a moment as I'm speaking at verses 3 and 8, and you will recognize once again the emphasis of humility. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, he said in verse number 3, but in lowliness of mind, in lowliness of mind. That's that thinking in the way, in the sense of humility. And then in verse number 8, he humbled himself, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is he who we should be living our lives and patterning our lives after. And we talked about this, I believe, the last time that we preached from this chapter, that God was working on the inside and we are to be working on the outside. These verses that we read just a few moments ago, once again, we get to peer into the heart of the great Apostle Paul. We get to peer into his heart once again and see an example of the under-shepherd specifically and how he should serve, but really how all of us should be desirous of serving the Lord in this theme of a model of spiritual service. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who would say, quote, "The true shepherd spirit is an amalgam of many precious graces. He is hot with zeal, but not fiery with passion. He is gentle, yet rules his class. He is loving, but does not wink at sin." Oh, are we not living in a day where every one of God's people, we must not wink at sin? Oh, we are living in a day where sin has become so accepted. And I must say, if we're not careful, it can even be accepted into the life of a born-again believer. May it not be so. May we not wink at sin. May we not let sin, what that means is, may we not belittle any kind of sin. He went on to say, "He has the power over the lambs, but he is not domineering or sharp. He has cheerfulness, but not levity. Freedom, but not license. Solemnity, but not gloom." Speaking of the true shepherd spirit, and while the Apostle Paul, I believe the context here is dealing with the pastor, the under-shepherd, I believe there can be great application in each of our lives today as well. So let's look at an outline here about the model of spiritual service. Number one, we see the appeal to ministry. The appeal to ministry in verses 16 to 18. Underneath that, we see letter A, what is the appeal to ministry? Number one, or letter A, to broadcast the word. Look at verse number 16, please. Notice what he says. Holding forth the what? Word of life. Word of life. Holding forth the word of life. What is the word of life? It's nothing more than this. And I don't mean that to be not saying something lightly, but it's practically the word of God, holding forth the word of life. And we are reminded here of what Paul had done, and that he was challenging, the Philippians to do, holding forth the word of life. Hold your place in Philippians chapter 2 and go with me quickly to the book of 2 Timothy, also chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's in there. Still, these pages are going to need a little breaking in, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 1, please. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We are in the army of the Lord as believers. God is the captain. God is the general, if you will. And he has given us and he has commissioned us as soldiers to hold forth the word of life. As we go back to Philippians chapter number 2. Nothing is more needed today among preachers than that we should have the courage to shake ourselves free from the thousand and on trivialities, in which we are asked to waste our time and energy and strength and resolutely return to the apostolic ideal which made necessary the office of the pastorate. This is G. Campbell Morgan. He said, we must resolve that we will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the word. One of the appeals to ministry for the pastor is the ministry of preaching of the word of God. In fact, that and prayer are the 1A and 1B, or however you want to look at them. Maybe it's the other way around. The responsibilities of the pastor. But might I say that we as God's people, we also have a great responsibility. And that is, as Paul says in verse number 16, to hold forth, or as we've said in the outline there, to broadcast the word. Look at the end of verse 16 of Philippians chapter number 2. Paul has something here that he, I believe, announces to the Philippians, but I look at it today as something that I want to also grab a hold of in my life. Look at the end of verse 16. That I have not run in vain. Think about that. We can do a lot of running and go nowhere. We can do a lot of effort and see nothing accomplished. And Paul is saying here, I don't want to live my life in vain. I don't want to expend my life in vain. He said that I would not live, not run in vain. Notice else, neither labored in vain. Well, we can put a lot of work in and we can put a lot of effort in. And we're talking right now, the Apostle Paul is speaking about spiritual things. And he's saying, I want to invest my life and I want to labor in my life. I want to run the race. And you know that Paul talks about running. Later on, he'll say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And praise the Lord for his example. But here we see to the Philippian Christians, he is saying that there, it is important that while maximum effort is a must, we must be doing it for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must prioritize our day. We must prioritize the life that he's given us. Think about this. You and I will never live today over again. We can go back and think about what happened last week. It's done. It's over. We cannot relive it. We have today. God willing, we'll have tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. And Paul is saying here, I've got to make sure that my running, I've got to make sure that my laboring is going to be profitable for the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 as we continue considering this broadcasting of the word. This, number one, this appeal to ministry. Look at 1 Corinthians, please, chapter number 3 and verse number 10. What was the purpose that God had for Paul? Paul wanted to fulfill that purpose. What was the goal that God had for Paul? Paul wanted to find that goal. Paul wanted to press toward that mark. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. By the way, this is not just about Paul this afternoon. We're talking about Paul, but we're talking about you. We're talking about me. God has a purpose for your life. The purpose of our life isn't simply to work 40 years or however many years and retire and then do whatever for the rest of our life. Praise God if you're retired today and you can still serve the Lord in those years. What I'm saying here is Paul is saying, I want to hold forth the word of life. I don't want to run this life. I don't want to go throughout this life, whether it's running or laboring. I don't want it to be done in vain. And I wonder, do we ever stop and think, am I living my life with purpose? Am I a husband with purpose? You know what? I think to be a godly husband, it is on purpose. You and I are not going to be men, if you're married, we are not going to be a godly husband by mistake. It's got to be on purpose. Am I a godly wife? Am I a parent on? Am I living my parenthood on purpose? Am I a Christian? Excuse me. Am I living this Christian life on purpose? What is the purpose of all of this? To live from week to week. Can you imagine? July is almost half over. 2019 is already half over. What's the purpose for this year? What are the goals? Do you have any goals for 2019 in your life? I think we ought to be goal-oriented people. I think we ought to set some goals. And you know what? We may not reach them all, but if you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it every time. What's the goal for your family, Dad? What's the goal for your family, Mom? What goal do you have? How do you pray for the Anchor Baptist Church? You pray for a full building every Sunday? Praise the Lord if that's the case, but really that's not the main objective. God has to bring the increase. We labor faithfully. Let God worry about that. God doesn't worry about it. But let God provide the increase as God enables it. I believe we see in the life of the Apostle Paul, a man that lived his life, while it wasn't perfect, it was a life lived with purpose. I don't want to just get up in the morning and look forward to being able to go to bed at night. Live every day with purpose. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Verse number 10, please. According to the grace of God, praise God for that, amen? The grace of God. Oh, without the grace of God, where would we be? I'll tell you where we'd be. Some of us would be dead. Some of us would have died without Christ. Perish the thought, amen? The grace of God. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me. It's given freely. It's given freely. You cannot earn God's favor. You cannot earn God's grace. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Follow the progression here. And another buildeth thereon. But let, and I want you to look at these next two words. You see them? Every man. Every man. If you underline words in your Bible, if you circle words in your Bible, these are two that you ought to underline, that you ought to circle, or that you ought to just make careful note of. Every man. And now when we read every man, you've already read to the end of the verse probably. But the responsibility that comes after these two words is not to be handed off to someone else. It says, let every man take heed. Take heed. What does that mean? Pay attention. Purpose. Right? On purpose. Let every man, and I don't believe that's just males, I believe that's mankind, let every man take heed, pay attention, on purpose, how he buildeth thereupon. Buildeth upon what? All the way back to the beginning, the grace of God that he has given to us. God saved me, God saved you. If you're saved today, it was God's grace that saved you, and God has given us a life filled with purpose, and it is our responsibility as his children to take heed to what are we building, how are we building on what God has already given us. This is why it is so important that we run what we do, that we run how we think through the pages of this book right here. That we run our conduct and our entertainment and all that we do in our life, run it through the Word of God. You know, I was captivated by that thought, and I really had to read that verse over and over again. But let every man, let every man, let every man take heed. Do it on purpose. How he buildeth thereupon. What are you building on the grace of God? So letter A, we see a brought to broadcast the Word. Letter B, we must move along. Look at verses 17 and 18 as we go back to our text. So we see a broadcast the word. We also see letter B, yield to the work. Yield to the work. Look at verses 17 and 18. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Let's look at that phrase, I be offered. I be offered. Where's my water bottle? Oh, there, I'm blind. I be offered. We'll use that in just a minute. It means to pour out as a drink offering. Now, when we read the Bible, many times we just want to read it for the sake of getting through a verse. You know, part of our growth in Christ is called meditation. And I'm not talking about yoga. I'm talking about meditating on the Word of God. What does this mean? If I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. Well, let's think about it, or we'll go back to it. We're not going to take the time to look at it in the Old Testament, but I'm going to refer now back to the Old Testament. When the priests would offer an animal as a sacrifice, they would pour out a liquid, sometimes honey, sometimes water, sometimes even grape juice, as a drink offering. This drink offering represented that the savor of the sacrifice was pleasing to God. The real sacrifice was the animal. The drink offering would follow. So, what is being said here? The Apostle Paul is encouraging the Philippians. This is an encouragement to them. In what way? In other words, Paul is saying that I am just topping off. I am just adding to. Notice now, let's go back to verse 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of, what's the next word? Your. The Philippians' faith. The Philippians' faith. The Philippians' service. He's saying, I'm the drink offering that's being poured out on your sacrifice. What you have already done. How you have already lived your life. How you have already put your faith. You're following God. He's saying, I am being poured out as a drink offering. That Paul's life, it was pleasing to God. As Paul is saying that if his life is pleasing to God and only pleasing to others, it would not be profitable. In other words, this was a time of rejoicing to give one's life for Christ. In other words, I'm not going to pour this out on the carpet, but pouring out our life for the Lord. Who is the sacrifice? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's already paid it all. Our life is being poured out on what Jesus Christ has already done. Without His sacrifice, we have nothing. Without His sacrifice, we have no hope. We have no message to live. David Livingston said, "If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice?" Would you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12? We're talking about a yielding to the work. A yielding to the work. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse number 15. Apostle Paul writes, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." Notice that word, spent. Spent. It means to exhaust. To spend wholly. To use up. To spend one's self wholly. Out of steam. Spent. You know, I read that verse and I asked myself this question. Who or what am I spent for? Would you just think about that for a few moments? Who or what am I spent for? Paul said here in verse 15, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. The church at Corinth. That's a good admonition. I asked myself this: who or what do we give ourselves wholly to? That's what it means to be spent. To give ourselves wholly to. Another question. Do we have any time to spend for eternity? Can you look at your calendar this week? And can you see where is some time that you can spend this week for eternity? Paul said, I am spent for you. That means to use up. To spend oneself wholly. How about this? Do we have any finances to give for eternity? By the way, praise the Lord for how He's supplying for Anchor Baptist Church once again this year. God is faithful. But I must ask myself, where am I spending myself? Do we use up all of our energy and effort at our workplace and have nothing or very little left over for God? Do we spend our emotion, and are we spent on things that are only for this world? And again, we need to be the hardest working people in where we work. That's not what I'm saying, but I wonder, do we have anything left in the tank for God? To me, it's a sobering thought. F.B. Meyer again says, "It is certain that before any service that we do for God or man is likely to be of lasting or permanent benefit, it must be saturated with our heart's blood. That which cost us nothing will not benefit others. Let us rather seek to be poured forth as an offering than to do much without feeling the least travail of soul. As the fertility of Egypt in any year is in direct proportion to the height that the waters of the Nile measure, So the amount of our real fruitfulness in the world is gauged by the expenditure of our spiritual force. I like what he said, that which cost us nothing will not benefit others. I have to ask, I have to look into the mirror of the Word of God, and this to me is, some sobering and some convicting thoughts here for this afternoon. I believe our life should be lived with purpose. We just get to the end of another week, and we say, I survived. Or can we get to the end of the week, and at the end of the week, yes, we're physically exhausted, but then we could still say, I'm thriving. There's no reason why God's people need to be just surviving. God's people, my hand is up first, God's people should be thriving. Why? Because we live our life with purpose. And it's not about how much money we have in the bank or don't have how much money we have in the bank. It's not about how the world thinks. It's how this book directs us to live our life. And it doesn't matter. You think about how some Christians today are thriving in the most amazing conditions. You think about how some Christians have so little, and yet the joy of the Lord is in their heart. I believe that's what Paul is talking about here. This appeal to ministry. This appeal to ministry, number one. Where there is a submissive and a humble mind, there will be sacrifice and service. Before we move on to the next point, can I just again implore you to consider that later today, maybe tonight before you pillow your head and you go to sleep. Where am I spending myself? And I'm not talking about money. Where am I spending my life? Let's look at number two. Not only number one do we see the appeal to ministry, but number two, we see the involvement in ministry in verses 19 and 20. Paul said, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Letter A, I believe we see a man, letter A, to know their condition. To know their condition. Paul's love for the Philippian church is seen in how he's seen. It's seen in his concern for him. Notice verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. When I know your state. I want you to think for a few minutes about the family of God. We need to have this kind of a heart. Not just for those that are easy to like, but for those maybe that are not that easy to like. And that's all of us at certain times. But I love the end of that verse where he says, that I know when I know your state. What does this mean? When I know your condition. When I know how you're doing. May God help us in that area. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27. Let's look at another verse. Proverbs chapter 27. To know their condition. Proverbs 27, verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. To know the state, that's again, the condition. The church is referred to as a body, is it not? As a body. Arms, hands, legs, feet, so forth and so on. It's a body. And you and I recognize that when one part of our body is not functioning properly or it's in pain, that's all we think about. That's all we're concerned about. How do I get rid of this pain? What can I do to get rid of this pain? How can I help? How can we figure? We got to figure something out. I mean, this is really bothering me. I can't sleep. I can't do anything. I can't function properly because I know that I've got a little splinter in my pinky finger. Being a little facetious there. You stub your toe. Oh, my goodness. You do anything else but stub your big toe and life is over. What I'm saying is that when our body is suffering in any given fashion, and even if it's the smallest member of our body, whatever, when there's pain and when there's suffering, we want to figure out how we can make the pain subside. We want to know the state of our body. Many times we go in and we have to get a checkup. We go to the doctor. And we see the doctor and we're saying, doctor, I have a, you know, this, this, and this, and this. And the doctor says, okay, let's run this test and that test. Let's see if we can figure this thing out. And we're going to run all these tests and try to get, okay, let's take some blood and let's do this and let's do that. Let's figure out what's happening. Paul here says in Philippians, and then we see in the book of Proverbs here, to be diligent to know the state of thy flock, to know their condition. This is, I'm talking about in a physical sense with the body, but the correlation can now be transferred over to the state or the condition of the church. While some of our personal things do not need to be broadcast between one another, but we should be recognizing, we should be able to be praying, we should be getting that prayer page, we should be taking that thing, and we should be praying for those. Why? Because we want to know the condition. We want to know the spiritual need. We want to know the financial need. To me, that is part of being involved in the local church. You know, we can come up here and we can join the church, and I'm all for that. But you know that when we join a church, then it's time to be involved. And the involvement isn't necessarily putting away a hymn book. It's wondering and praying, not wondering, but seeking and wondering, okay, where's so-and-so? I want to be praying for them. Not in a nosy fashion, but in a fashion of great concern. That's part of being in the family. When somebody's hurting, we're hurting with them. When somebody's rejoicing, we're rejoicing with them. Know their condition. Letter B, know their burdens. Paul's burden is revealed by sending Timothy. Timothy, I want you to make sure they're okay. Turn over to Acts 20, please. Acts 20. The involvement in ministry. I'm thankful to be a part of Anchor Baptist Church that is greatly involved. We have a missions team of families and single people and with so many needs and so many prayer requests, and I believe that we're greatly involved. We want to know the burdens. Praise the Lord that B.J. Johnston is out of the hospital now. I just had some communication with his dad this afternoon, and they're trying a new medication. Continue to pray for this young man. He's gone through great, great burden physically with colitis. Just a very young man. And I appreciate you praying for him, and I know they do as well. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. We see a man with a heart for the people of God. May God give us that same heart that we are involved, not just coming in, sitting down, leaving, and doing the same thing week after week after week. In other words, the purpose of the Christian life. Yes, being in God's house is part of it, but that's just part of it. Knowing that sometimes we all sit in the same sections. I'm the same way. If I go to a church for a special meeting and I sit in that seat where my wife is, most of the time for every service, I'm sitting right there. That's just what we do. And that's fine. But what I'm saying is, maybe if you know everything about everybody in the front two rows, but what about the people in the back two rows? I'm not saying that you're more spiritual and they're less spiritual. I'm saying many times this is all that we're confined to, is the row that we sit in at church. And if you're nowhere near my row, I don't know anything about you. I don't think that's the way God intends it. I don't think that's why God created the church. I don't think that's the why Jesus. I don't think that's why Jesus shed his blood for the church. I believe God has given us the local church to glorify him, to worship him, to live for him, but to live our life with purpose. Even within the church. And I know there's always going to be people, and I don't mean to be unkind, there's always going to be people that just want to hide at church and they don't want to just sit and leave and go. If that's you, I hope that you're being helped by being here. But I don't believe that God put you in this church or me in this church simply to sit in my row and know nothing about anybody else in any other row. God brought us here to letter number two for the involvement. Let's look at number three. Verses 20 and 21, the companion in ministry. The companion in ministry. Letter A, the companion is like-minded. Paul said in verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus. Excuse me, verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Timothy had been trained by Paul. What does like-minded mean? Like disposition or purpose. Again, we want to live our life on purpose, but we want to live our life with one purpose. Honor the God of this book. As we labor together in Burnaby, as you go tomorrow to your place of employment, as we go tomorrow to an activity or something, as we go to Tim Hortons tomorrow, we have a purpose with the seniors. We have an opportunity to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. As we have opportunity to live our life on purpose, that we would be like-minded going into this world with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Living for the glory of God. Not only like-minded, but knowledgeable. Letter B, knowledgeable. Notice the word naturally. Naturally. The word naturally means genuinely, faithfully, sincerely. You know, if we have the heart of God, we have the heart of God, that's exactly how we're going to care for one another. It's not going to have to be pulled out of us. It's going to come naturally. Why? Because that's the love of God. God loves us like with an indescribable love. Let's look at that. Who will naturally care for your state? Aren't you glad there's been people in your Christian life who have just naturally cared for you? They have naturally nurtured you. It wasn't by force. It wasn't because they had to. They just naturally cared for your spiritual condition. That's what Paul is saying. Like-minded, letter A. Knowledgeable, letter B. Notice the word care. The word care. To care for, to look out for, to seek, to promote one's interest, or caring, providing for. Paul, it's very clear, over and over and over, Paul was interested in the people of Philippi. What did they need? How were they doing? Were you hurting? Where can I pray for you? Did they need emotional help? Were they hurting physically? Were there grievous wolves coming in? I'm concerned about it. This is the heart of the Apostle Paul. Not only knowledgeable and not only like-minded, but notice the third companion, loyal. Loyal. Timothy was first and foremost loyal to the cause of Christ. Timothy had no personal agenda or plan. Quickly turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. A model of spiritual service. We see the appeal to ministry. We see the involvement in ministry. And we see the companion in ministry. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. Oil. For all seek their own. Verse 21 of our text. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Timothy had no agenda or plan. Timothy was loyal. Paul would see the exact opposite in a man by the name of Demas. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible speaks about Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Where are our loyalties today? I'm going to read something to close the message. Please listen carefully to it. God, give us men ribbed with the steel of your Holy Spirit. Men who will not flinch when the battle is fiercest. Men who won't acquiesce or compromise or fade when the enemy rages. God, give us men who can't be bought, bartered, or badgered by the enemy. Men who will pay the price, make the sacrifice, stand the ground, and hold the torch high. God, give us men obsessed with the principles true to your word. Men stripped of self-seeking and a yearning for security. Men who will pay any price for freedom and go any length for truth. God, give us men delivered from mediocrity. Mediocrity. Men with vision high. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Men with pride low, faith wide, love deep, and patience long. Men who will dare to march to the drumbeat of a distant drummer. Men who will not surrender principles of truth in order to accommodate their peers. God, give us men more interested in scars than medals, more committed to conviction than convenience. How can we do this any easier? That's not what pleases the Lord. Men who will give their life for the eternal, instead of indulging their lives for a moment in time. Give us men who are fearless in the face of danger, calm in the midst of pressure, bold in the midst of opposition. God, give us men who will pray earnestly. Men who will preach clearly. Men who will wait patiently. God, give us men whose walk is by faith. Behavior is by principle. Living our life on purpose. Whose dreams are in heaven and whose book is the Bible. God, give us men who are equal to the task. Those are the men the church needs. A model. of spiritual service. No bells, no lights, no whistles. Just men and women of God that say, I must live my life with purpose. I must go to my job on Monday with purpose. I must scan this box with purpose. I must do this drawing with purpose. I must clean this office with purpose. Drive this bus with purpose. And whatever task you have with purpose. All the while recognizing that God has put you and God has put me here for His purpose. To fulfill His purpose for my life. And He's given us the Holy Spirit of God. He's given us His Word. That we can live our life.